Now, I saw you doing your senior citizen workout the other day where you were standing on one foot and balancing and then putting your shoe on and tying it all while standing on one foot. How many average people do you think can do that without falling over?
Well, here's the thing. I know it seems like it would be a task that is not all that difficult, but it's harder than you think. And I think once we get into that age demographic, and I'm guesstimating, I don't have any comparative data for that, but I would say that 60 to 70% probably could not do that. And if you go onto Paul Plakas's Instagram site, if you wanted to see it, and people could maybe give it a try, and then maybe we could get some comparative data. Maybe we'll find out by the time I do this in 2 weeks that everybody can do it.
That would be it. You know what? I don't mind that. We'll get people to try it, people we know. So video themselves trying it to see if they can do it. So today, you know what? Many of us right now are a little stressed out. Obviously, life is not normal. And for some people, it can go two ways. You know what? Maybe you stop exercising, you're frustrated, you're not motivated, totally normal. Others are like, man, I got to do as much as I can to keep myself busy. Can we over-exercise?
Well, you can. And it's interesting with that. And I guess before we go any further, really important to understand that reaching goals with fitness is about adaptation to work or the exercise stimulus. So regardless of your activity, if you're a runner, cross-country skier, cyclist, or you just like to weight train, you must impose some sort of appropriate workload to facilitate an adaptation to the stimulus. So for example, your goal is to get stronger lifting weights. For the average person, performing 2 or 3 resistance workouts per week would allow for ample recovery days between workouts where one could expect adaptations to take place and you'd get stronger. Working out every day does not allow for recovery or the adaptations to take place, and more typically the performance starts to go in the wrong direction. So here's a few signs and symptoms that maybe you're exercising too much. Number one, poor sleep. Can't get to sleep. You're just chronically tired. You're irritable. Poor exercise performance, maybe poor school or work performance. You have chronic injury patterns, or DOMS is delayed onset muscle soreness. You're chronically sore all the time. Those are some signs and symptoms that you might be doing too much.
Okay, so what are you know, how can we avoid overdoing it? Because, like, I guess you listen to your body or the signs, but I'm guessing there's some people that can keep going and going before these signs come to fruition. So is there a way to know, like, is there a limit? Because some people do, you know, twice a day workouts and are fine with it. What are signs that you're starting to overdo it, even if you don't get DOMS and other things?
Right. Okay, so, and it's typically, it would be performance going the wrong way. And you bring up a really good point with that. You might get away with it for a certain period of time. And let's say we're talking about a genetically gifted individual where they're just stronger, they have more aerobic capacity, they eat really well, and they sleep, you know, well, and they don't have the stresses of maybe like a professional job. They're a professional athlete. They may get away with higher volumes of training without any of those symptoms being present. But at some point, it will catch up. Like, nobody is exempt 100%, even if you are a gifted athlete. So things that you should maybe look at just so that you don't overdo it, because once you end up with an injury, you take yourself out of the game. So if you're an athlete training for competition, you should understand the concept of periodization, which is basically just mapping out progressive weeks of training with recovery built in so that you peak at competition date. Now, if you're an average individual exercising for lifelong good health, a periodization model of some sort with structured rest periods would be of value too, but understanding the intensity continuum of various activities may be of greater value for the average person to set up safe programming. And so here's what I mean by that. So with your intensity continuum, at one end of the spectrum, you've got low-intensity pursuits. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got high-intensity pursuits. An example of the low intensity stuff would be walking. The majority of people can walk, doing that 20 minutes a day. It's pretty easy on the body, but you can recover from it daily. And you could probably do that all the time, no problem. At the other end of the spectrum, we've got a maximal effort CrossFit style workout where you're working against the clock and you've got a series of big strength exercises that are dynamic and you're working with heavier weights. The stimulus is so deep in a workout like that that you'd need maybe 2 to 5 days of recovery so that you'd be able to force some sort of adaptation where you could do it again. If you tried to do that every day, like, you're just asking for trouble. Like, you would be setting yourself up for an injury. When you do workouts like that, where they're intense, rest and time, your best friends after intense work. Try not to do things that inhibit the healing process. And an example of this, and I see it all the time, you know, and it's popular with professional athletes, and it's like jumping into an ice bath. The evidence is mounting, and this whole protocol, it slows down the adaptations, especially in strength training athletes. And the reason being, the cold temperature restricts blood flow, stalls the lymphatic system, reducing the flow of inflammatory cells to damaged muscle systems. So as an athlete, we want this process to occur during the recovery phase so that the adaptations in your strength training, like, it'll help. It'll help you to get stronger. So, and I see people doing it all the time, even for endurance athletes, you know, jumping into an ice bath to bring down inflammation. It's great for bringing down body temperature and everything else. And if you're just going to go in and do it for a few minutes, great. But long term, it's not a good idea. It slows the recovery process down.
Well, it's great stuff, man. Great insight. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
and we'll put the video up and see if people can stand. Basically, what you do is you stand on one foot, whichever one you want. You then bend over. You pick up your shoe. Whichever foot you're standing on, the other foot's up in the air. Then you bend over. You pick up your shoe. Then you put your shoe on the foot that's off the ground, of course. Then you tie it while standing.
Right.
And you can't fall over.
Right. And you cannot touch down with, like, you have to stay balanced on one leg the whole time until it's tied.
Yes.
How many people can do that. Like, I'd be curious to have a few people. I mean, start a thread and let's see how many, regardless of your age, let's see how many people can do that.
We'll check it out. We'll have the videos, the stand on one foot challenge. See who can do it. Nice. And you only get one try though.
Yeah.
Only get one try.
Absolutely.
Well, let's say have a good one.
You too, Gregory. Take care, pal.